Hello, everybody. This is episode 26, and I was going to talk a little bit about anti-aging, but I don't know if I will, even though I did reference it in a YouTube video. Sorry about that, but it's just not going to happen. I've got a lot of passion built up regarding this thing that's happening in Oregon, so I want to talk to you a little bit about it and see what we can see.
Hump day, yeah!
Hi, my name is Mark. I'm the Prepper Guy, and this is a Prepper Guy podcast. In a world that's always changing and full of fear and confusion, and especially when it comes to prepping, I'm a minimalist, and I like to be ready for anything that life may throw at us, whether it's bad, the end of the world, or just a flat tire on a deserted road. So I get posts all the time in Facebook and comments and stuff to where people are like, when the day happens, will you stand? I don't know what that means. What day? And what are they talking about? You know, because to me, what I see in a meme or whatever they call those like that is the day being shit hits the fan, I guess, or when something really bad happens to America, like a solar flare and the grid goes down. What day are we talking about? Because I think this is one of those days that is happening in Oregon. Because let's face it, when the day comes to where a SWAT team is kicking down your door, I'm not going to know about it, so I won't be there because I live in another state. If there's a power grid failure or by an EMP or some kind of something like that, then I'm going to be dealing with my own problems, and I won't even know that it's affecting you, so I won't be able to be there for you because, once again, you live in another state, and I have no power. I'm going to be protecting me and mine. So I'm asking everyone that puts those out there, what the hell do you mean when that day comes? Because I think it is upon us. That day has been happening for about, 50 to 80 years. So which day in those days are you talking about? Because it's easy to sit there and say, hey, if I go over and pick a fight with this guy at the bar, do you got my back? Well, yeah, sure, you're my friend. Soldiers do that all the time. You got my six? Yeah, because they're in battle. We're talking about social issues here. I'm not close enough to you physically to have your back. So I don't, once again, what does that mean? So I think what you're trying to say is when the government becomes overreaching and all-powerful, will you have my back? Well, then let me ask you, since that day is upon us in Oregon, and it happened on the Bundy Ranch, you know, almost a year ago, did you stand? What is the excuse that everyone I'm seeing on the internet have to why they're not supporting the Hammonds in this occupation of a vacant building? You know, that is the day to stand for property rights, government overreach, and abuse of power, and an injustice to a person's rights. The sheriff isn't standing with them, so therefore they're being bullied, and then it's a violation of their constitutional freedom of, what is it called, cruel and unusual punishment. Even the first judge said to enforce the 5-year sentence would be cruel and unusual. So that day is here, that one day in the 80 years. So are you going to stand? Or are you going to sit there and go, well, you know, it's wrongheaded. It's bad timing. I'm not sure. I'm not going to call anyone out because you know who you are. You know, anyone that's taken that stand, well, I'd like to support them, but I think what they're doing isn't really right based on your beliefs. Well, then I can't stand with you if your beliefs are wrongheaded also. So what the hell's happening in Oregon? It's been 8 days now since the Bundys have kind of occupied those buildings for the fish and wildlife, whatever they call that. And I'm not going to get into all the details about it because there's a lot of names and stuff in there that I'll probably get wrong and I'll misquote somebody. So basically the Bundys, which you remember back from the standoff there in, Nevada with the ATF and all the guys. And it looked, you know, everyone thought that was going to, you know, become a Waco incident. This one's a little different, but it's got the same actors. The Bundys came to Oregon to support friends that they know because their ranches are actually quite close to each other, even though they're in different states. And and to help the Hammonds who were in trouble, and they wanted to make a stand and at least show support, kind of like some any other kind of protest like Occupy or something. So, you know, people go, why are they doing that? Well, why did people do Occupy Wall Street? Who the hell cares? They're supporting their beliefs. So I'm not going to get into that. Every American has a right to be upset and to gather together and to create a protest. So that's what they're doing. They're trying to help their friends. So now I don't know if you know what happened with the Hammonds, and there's tons of articles all over the internet about it. And while I was getting ready to do this show on it, because this is what's more important to me is politics all the time. Every article I read seemed to have this, I don't know, this damn slant about how crazy all these people are that are standing up to the government. Now, I don't know why the news does that, because in Ferguson, when everyone got all pissed off and burnt half the town down and destroyed stores and tipped over police cars and all that, they were protesting against the government. And the media was like, oh, isn't that cute? These people are really upset and they have something to say. Now, because a bunch of, I guess, people that wear cowboy hats don't have that right to do that. So I'm reading all these articles and I'm like, talk about a double standard. So I couldn't get much out of it other than the same old line that's being used over and over and over and over and over again, that they have occupied federal land and that the federal government owns the land. And going all the way back to the founding fathers, the federal government has owned the land, all the land, everything in America. Well, first of all, no, because we created a constitution and all that to lay out who owns what and who can do what and who has authority. So if you're looking at the authority in your household, let's say, and there's you and your wife and then your kids and then your pets and your dogs and all that. Well, it's kind of the same way. The founding father said, this is how it's going to work for the federal government. You people in Washington will have a Congress and a Senate, which will be called the House. We're going to have a judiciary, which is justice and all that, judiciary. And we're going to have the executive, which is the president. So they go, these are going to be who we're going to set up as president of our corporation, the CEO of our corporation, and the treasurer of our corporation. Now, that's not their titles, but do you understand? We created a government. We the people, that's you, me, your grandfather, your great-grandfather, my great-great-great-grandfather, going all the way back to the 1700s, we the people got together and said, this is a big land area here. What the hell are we going to do with all that? So the founding fathers weren't dopey. They knew you have to have government or governance. You know, because you just can't let people run amok. You need some rule of law and we need some structure. So you say, okay, I got it. Let's create a corporation called the federal government. Does that kind of simplify it a little bit? Because it's a similar structure. So the people got together and the founding fathers and they wrote this document, which was kind of like Articles of Incorporation, but it was called the Constitution. And they said, okay, all of the people now and ever will be in the United States are the shareholders, and we always have all the vote. We have the authority, and we grant this corporation the right to be in existence. And then kind of like, you know, magic and the sparkling light, ding, there was a federal government. And then the federal government, not being a living entity, just like a corporation, needed people to follow the guidelines set up in the Articles of Incorporation. I'm going to use that because most people have seen corporations have their own LLCs. We all know what it is. It's kind of like a trust. It's a document that does certain things and it acts a certain way and it fulfills an end goal a certain way based on the rules set up or the articles set up in the corporation. That's the federal government. So everyone got together and said, okay, well, we're going to create this corporation and it's going to have power to do what? And that's why the founding fathers argued a lot. And there was all these big debates because really what they were doing was they were giving life to Frankenstein or a robot or a corporation or artificial intelligence, whatever you want to call it. And once they flipped that switch on, it would be alive. And it had to have its three laws of robotics, basically, to tell it, no matter what we're doing, I can't do these things. So it was the guidelines, it was the chain or the leash on Frankenstein that said, you can do all this, but you can't cross this line. And to make sure you can't, we have this choke collar on you that, you know, you're going to stop when you get to that point in case you get a little excited there for no apparent reason. So that is a constitution. That's how it was set up. So a bunch of old dudes way back then in the 1700s who not only studied and could read and write in 6 or 7 languages, they studied history because, see, they lived in history. So when I'm talking to you about the internet, you and I kind of understand it because I might be a little older, but I remember its inception and where it came from and, you know, and how it all started and all that. But if you go from, you know, this point in time to another point in time, 2000, you know, or 200 years from now, and you're talking about the internet, they're going to go, well, those people didn't understand the internet. What? Our generation and yours created the internet. You know, we gave it life. We're the ones that actually set up HTML and all this crap. We're the ones that gave it JavaScript. What do you mean we didn't understand it? But see, they're going to be 200 years in the future, and they're going to look back all high and mighty and think, well, that internet thing, they didn't know what they were talking about. So it's the same thing. When you go back 200 years and you look at the founders of the country and who created the Constitution, it was based on the Magna Carta. It was based on old documents. Now, to them, it wasn't that old of a document. So it was like, you know, it'd be like getting your hands on a Unix document right now, and you'd go, man, this is Unix. These are the people that created Unix. Well, yeah, that's 30, 40 years old. It's still the backbone of what's running the internet. So, you know, they were looking at, you know, back, you know, 100 years studying history, reading all the philosophers and everything about government and how it worked and how it didn't work and all that. And now you stand here 300 years later, because they were looking at, you know, at a document that was 100 years old 200 years ago. So they're looking back, you know, you're looking back 300 years and go, well, they didn't understand all that. It's like they lived it. So don't think they didn't understand it. Now, the internet can evolve just like the Constitution throughout, you know, time. And as long as you keep it running and don't jack it all up, why would, you know, that's like saying, well, you know, the people that created the internet, that and it was not Al Gore. The people that created the internet was kind of a synergy thing of a lot of people that, and it just kind of happened. They had rules and all that, and they set up the, you know, the IP system and all that to where it keeps track of everything and the backbone and all the everything, how it works. They created it. So you look into the future, you know, and your son or your grandson or your great grand, you know, sons are going to be sitting there going, well, you know, the internet was great, but it didn't really factor in, you know, video conferencing. No, because it was a standard set of principles that would do video conferencing. It would do text documents. It would do all that old technology, and it'll do anything new. You might have to add a program to it, just like an amendment, but it can handle it. And they're like, no, you don't understand. The internet is a living, breathing thing. And they didn't understand that you can't have pornographic images floating on there because, or you see, it's the same thing. So the Constitution is just a document that works this good now as it did then. And there's a way to always make it adapt, which is called the amendment process. So that was a little brief history on the Constitution and how I try to relate shit to what's going on in our lives right now, which is the internet. So what's happening in Oregon then? Well, the federal government, over the 200 years of being thinking it is alive and it doesn't have a leash on it, has through incrementalism slowly stolen our land. Because it was originally set up that if I don't know what state you live in, but if you Google the Enabling Act for your state, it's a clear-cut document that says as your state moved from being a territory, which was just a big land that was undeveloped, it was just the territory, it became a state. The federal government told anyone that wanted to be a state, here's the rules to become a state. You need so many people that can work. You need a certain education level. I mean, read the documents for the statehood conventions. It's not like the federal government was giving out a state convention or statehood like candy. You had to, my state of Arizona, we had to have so many people that had a certain education. We had to prove how much gold and copper and cattle and stuff that we could produce, and that we had the labor force to produce it. So we actually had to, you know, put on our Sunday go-to-meeting clothes, walk into the federal government and go, we want to be a state. We want to be a franchise of this new McDonald's. And Washington was like, well, here's the rules. Here's what we expect of you to become a state. Because territories are just wild, crazy, kind of governed areas, but you're going to be a state. You have to have a constitution. You have to do all this stuff. And so they would go back and they'd hammer out all the details and stuff. And then the federal government would say, okay, now that you're a state, this is how it was set up 100 years ago or whatever, we will, this land that is now in your boundaries or your borders of your state now belongs to the state, no longer the federal government. And what you're going to do with that land is you're going to sell it. You're going to keep this small portion, and we are talking small portion, for buildings like courthouses, government buildings, and for schools and post offices. That's about it. So if you take a state the size of any state and you take maybe 2% of it, that's a lot of land. That was for the government, the state government, to run its operation. Now, they didn't expect it to get so big and overbearing that they would need a whole, you know, all the land to build all their buildings, because that's just a land grab. Now, the rest of the land, let's say the other 90% of the land, was to be used for that state to raise money and run its government. So it would be sold or deeded or, you know, given out as grazing rights or logging leases or mining, to where the people would have the right to use that land to produce the money we had told the federal government we could bring to the party. And then so it was all set up that way. So the land became, from a territory to a state, the ownership moved from the federal government had bought and purchased all these territories, and it moved into the state, and in exchange, the state was part of the union. It was kind of like, well, you know, if you fix up the room on my house, I'll let you live in there. Okay, it was fair. More complicated than that. But so the federal government then created an enabling act, and they've screwed with that over time too. Trust me, it's not like it's still as pure as the driven snow like it was when they created it. So the enabling act then told the state how to do it, and that land now belongs to the state in the story. Now the state has a legal binding contract basically with the people that live in the state, that they're going to use that land for the people, because the state doesn't exist. The state doesn't even matter. It's the people. The people got together. They said, let's make a state. They gave the state a little spark of life like a Frankenstein. And then Frankenstein now runs the state. And it says, these are the borders. This is how we function. Here's who does what and that. So it's the people. It's always the people. So when the people get the land from the state, we're actually getting it from us, because the land belonged to the federal government. Who created the federal government? We the people. So it's always been our land, and it never belonged to the federal government, because the federal government has no breath without we the people. So that we the people said, this is how you will deal with all this land that we own. So, you know, everyone that became American citizens that lived here became part of the we the people. We didn't take the land like in the Louisiana Purchase. It was called the Louisiana Purchase. We the people bought it. We gave the federal government money, and the federal government wrote a check or gave them bags of gold to Napoleon for the Louisiana Purchase. We bought it. Just like if you buy a computer, it doesn't belong to the guy that made it anymore. It's yours. And we the people bought that land. Now they could say, well, no, the federal government bought that land. Where did they get their money? From we the people. If they borrowed it from England or France or whoever they borrowed the money from, who's going to pay it back? We the people. So there is no greater authority in America than we the people, because we fund everything and we give them the authority to act in our name. So the land was always the people's. We just bought it from another country like the Louisiana Purchase, or when we went to war with Mexico and then we, you know, pushed them all the way back to Mexico City, and then we actually gave them the land back because they had unconditionally surrendered. It was ours. Mexico was ours. All the way down to Colombia was ours. And then we went, no, we don't want to do that. Just stop taking us to war with you. Here's this part. We're going to keep that part. And because it's all a bunch of barren nothingness anyway out there, we're going to pay you $14, $15 million, whatever it was, for everything from the Mexico-United States border up into America. We're paying you for that. We bought it. Who bought it? We the people bought it. The federal government didn't buy it. Thomas Jefferson didn't buy the land for the Louisiana Purchase. We did. He just wrote the check. They're the controllers. What do they call them in a business? The controller. So we, the owners, turn to the check writer and go, this Louisiana Purchase, it looks like a good deal. Write him a check. We're going to have to borrow the money to do that. Okay, make it happen. And then he went out, borrowed the money, whatever he did, bought it, wrote the check, gave him gold, whatever. We own it now. It's ours. Who's we own it? We. You. Me. Your grandparents. We the people. Because we signed the promissory note to pay that loan back. It's ours. So that land that's in dispute doesn't belong to the federal government, never did. It always belonged to we the people. They were just had stewardship over it while we were forming a country. So I don't understand who this federal government thinks they are, because they are us. And I don't mean it like you might have an uncle or a friend that works for the federal government. No, they are us. We created them. They do not exist any more than a corporation exists as a living entity. In fact, if you have a corporation and I sue you, you can't go into court and represent your corporation because it is not alive. You have to hire an attorney to represent the corporation. And some of you that are lawyers and have been in the corporation law and all that know that you can't just go to court. Like if I sue you personally because you ran over my foot, you and I can go to court because we are alive. We are legal entities. We exist. The federal government exists only on paper. All that other shit is just buildings and people working at a job, the same as McDonald's or Burger King. They don't own it. They don't speak for it, and they are not in charge of it. You know who's in charge of the federal government? The people that created it. And if they don't know what to do, then you look up the document and you say, well, okay, here in Article 4, Section 9, this is what you can do, federal government. Oh, well, we were confused. It's like, well, stop it. You're confused. Here's how we set you up. As long as you live in our house, you will follow our rules. I don't know how to make it any clearer. You can get caught up in the minutiae of it and pretend that a state government, a county government, a federal government is actually a living human entity. It is not. It's a piece of paper that only gets authority by you and me. And we elect people every couple years to run that organization. And if we as the board holders or the shareholders don't like the way we're doing it, we fire them. They can't turn around and go, well, now that we're a McDonald's, we've decided to do this and that. We're not going to be McDonald's anywhere. In fact, we're not going to make fast food anymore. We're going to make computer chips. Oh, well, let's see what the board holders have to think about that. And they can get all full of themselves sitting in their executive boardroom up there in Washington, D.C. going, well, them stupid shareholders, they don't know what they're talking about. Well, it doesn't matter if we know what we're talking about. If we all get together and say, you're out of here, you're out of here. Who backs that up when we say you're out of here? The militias, the military. So in an impeachment, this is how it works. It's not like my thoughts on this. It's actually the way it was set up. Originally, the vice president was the guy that lost the election against the president. It was always the second man. So they didn't have this big convention and go, I like Bob. He'll be my vice president. No, when Washington and Adams ran for president and Washington won the first election, Adams became the vice president. He didn't have a nomination or a running mate selected. Number two became the vice president. So back when things actually ran the way we, the people, set it up. So if the vice president sees the president doing something unconstitutional, it is his duty, his sworn oath, to bring impeachment charges against the president. Now, if they're friends, then it is the sworn oath and duty of the Congress to bring impeachment charges against the president and maybe the vice president if they're working together. If they don't do that, then it is the duty of the United States military to remove them all from office for violation of oath and have another election. It's really kind of simple. So don't look at it as the government. Don't look at it as like all this minutiae over all these years that have clouded your view and muddied the water. Look at it quite simply as this. It's a corporation, plain and simple. We are the board holders. And so therefore, if we hire a company to come in and overthrow that boardroom that's become corrupt, we're not the crazies. We're the sane ones. So who do we hire? Well, we the people create an army and go. All the militias get together. We're not asking you to burn down the White House. We're not asking you to do all this stuff. We're just saying go into those offices, physically remove these people from their chair and their desk, kick them to the curb, out on the street, and do not let them run this country anymore. Get them out of here. See, everyone thinks a revolution has to be all just like shooting and killing. No, the military could literally walk into every office of the federal government with a general in charge and go, could you please stand up? They go, yeah. Go outside, please. And that's it. They're all gone. Not a shot one has to be fired. Even the Secret Service has to honor the orders of these men because they don't work for the government. They don't work for the president. They work for you and me. So this is that land belongs to the people. And it actually belongs to the Hammonds because of the contract laws that were written 100 years ago for that state. It's not open for debate. The federal government never had the right to have a National Park Service. It never has the right to create all these forests and these sanctuaries and all this stuff. It does not exist in writing. We never set it up. Our corporation is making product that we didn't create it to do, and we have every right to say, stop it. Stop making that product. Stop testing it on animals. Whatever our corporation's doing wrong, we have the right to say, stop it. And if they're not listening, then we just move right in and go, we've taken possession of all these, basically these illegal franchises that you opened. Well, you can't do that. It's like, yeah, we can, because you forgot you work for us. You opened it in the name of, let's just say, McDonald's. That's our corporation. The federal government will call it McDonald's because people understand that a little better. So you opened all these franchises in these states called Mickey D's, not McDonald's. You don't even have the Golden Arches anymore. You violated everything we set you up to do. You're making improper product. You're doing everything wrong. You have no authority to hire these people and do this stuff. And so we, the shareholders, have taken over these franchises. Get out of here. And for them to have the cojones to go, you can't do that. It's like, excuse me? If I had a military that weren't all screwed up and mixed up and thought you were the commander in chief and would march their happy ass into corporate headquarters and throw you out, I would. But I have to wait for the election. So you can see when that break happens, to when all of a sudden the shareholders are no longer part of the discussion and they shut those corporate doors and they make everyone that works for the company think that they own the company. Oh, I'm taking orders from Ronald McDonald now. Oh, okay. And then you hire a bunch of people that don't even know it's a corporation and they just think that you own it. You're Ronald. I've seen you on a McDonald's commercial forever. Of course you own it. No, you don't. So over time, these people think that they're literally working for the federal government. No, those checks are written by a corporate, you know, check writer. And where did the money come in that account? It came from you and me. And we're not the customers. We're actually funding it. The federal government does not have a dime that we do not give it. So it's complicated. But the simple fact is, when it gets so complicated, sometimes you can't sit there and just have a conversation with these people. You can't call Washington and go, hey, Mr. President, what's up? Go, you're doing this wrong. We're really upset about it. It's like, oh, well, let me read that. Well, yeah, see, read the 10th Amendment. Read this. Read the 2nd Amendment. It's like, oh, I was mistaken. Okay, thanks. Thanks, Mark. and do something. No, they don't listen to you. They've locked the boardroom doors. They've surrounded themselves with private contractors and called the Secret Service that all work for us, but they've been told through generations of bullshit that they work for the government. The government doesn't exist. You don't work for something that isn't alive. You definitely don't take orders from a piece of paper. So the Hammonds and the Bundys have every right to occupy those buildings. In fact, they're not occupying the federal buildings. They're occupying their buildings that they built and paid for with their own money over years. It is ours. We the people. And they have no right. The federal government has no right to ownership of it because it owns nothing. We do. So I was going to get into more of it, but that is the simple fact that, you know, there's a ton of shit out there if you want to read it. But you will definitely go blind reading all this stuff because you got to remember there's 200 years of conniving, cheating, manipulating, and moving chess players on the board before you get to where we are right now. So 100 years ago, somebody goes, we need to, you know, FDR says, well, we need National Park Service. These are beautiful lands and we need to set it aside for we the people. It's already owned by we the people. In fact, if I cared to have a national forest, I guess I could have fenced it off ourselves and said we could have had a state forest refuge for this really cool Yellowstone Park. That's really pretty. Most people don't want to live there because it's stinky and gassy. So, all right, we could do that. No, the federal government comes along and says, well, we're going to start the United States Forest Service. We're going to take care of all this land for you. Oh, okay, so you're a property management company. Yeah. And we're going to give them badges and really cool uniforms and ugly green trucks. And whatever they say, you listen to them. It's like, oh, I'm sorry, what? The janitor's going to tell me how to do what? And I'm supposed to listen to him? So then they're like, oh, we can't have them called janitors. We'll create this other law. Okay, so now there's the don't talk bad to janitors law. And then it's like, well, you know, call you whatever you want. And someone talks bad to him. It's like, give them a law. Give all the badges to the janitor. So over 100 years, these people have actually been raised and work and think that land is theirs. If you hired a property management company to run, let's say, your 100 homes you have that you've bought and paid for, and then over time they start running it and you're like, that's really great. You're doing a good job. Just send me my check. Okay. And then your son, you know, he inherits all that. And he's just like, oh, you guys are doing a great job. I don't have time for this. I'm playing golf. So then the grandkids finally take over the business and they're like, so you're writing me a check every year or every month. Who are you? Well, we're the property management company that your great grandfather set up to run these rental properties. And we always run it to make more money. So when we took it over, you had 100 properties. Now you have 1,000 properties. We've done all this and we've done all that. And you're like, oh, cool. Okay. So then his son takes it over and he's like, who are you? And it's like, well, we're the property management company. Well, what's your job? We control all this property. Well, where's my check? Well, we decided that our overhead's too much and we're not going to give it to you. Well, I'm going to move into one of them houses because I need somewhere to live. It's like, no, you can't. Coma what? The fuck did you just say to me? So this is how it's gotten. They were set up to just be a little property management company that now thinks they own it and they're kicking us to the curb. I don't think so. So then eventually, see, if you're that great-great-grandchild, you have to hire or get the police or the sheriff or the law enforcement to go into that property management company and go, hey, you don't own this. And it's like, well, my father set up this property management company and he said we do own it and this property's ours. And it's like, no, look at the documents, dumbass. You never own that. See, but you're not going to find a good sheriff to do that, just like in up there in Oregon. That sheriff is just a moron because he doesn't understand his oath of office to protect the Hammonds' constitutional rights to freedom and liberty. So he doesn't understand. See, he's just like, oh, Washington said that they own the land and you didn't pay your grazing rights. It's like, do you think you could crack open a book once in a while, dumbass sheriff, and actually read something? They don't own the land. Oh, well, they said they did. So I'm going to write you a ticket. So you're not going to ever straighten it out because there's 300 million people in America that have different opinions about their pet project. So they don't understand that the Constitution was never set up to give them a paycheck. It was set up to just protect our borders, to make commerce regular, and that's it, to manage these 10 properties. Now, that was 13. Let's pretend each state was a property. And now there's 50 properties. That's all they do is manage it. They don't own them. They don't tell them how to operate. They don't tell me what color to paint my state house. Nothing. It's none of their business. They were hired for one thing, to manage the operation of 50 properties. That's it. The property itself, the state, can manage itself. And in that, it manages the counties. The counties themselves manage it. But do you think that Washington, D.C., or the state, or the county, is going to step foot on my legal private property and tell me what color to paint my barn? They can go pound sand. So this is all over the map, as usual. I don't have an outline, but this is how America works. Now, there's a lot of smart people out there who would say, well, you know, Mark, he's kind of right on this, but that. He's kind of okay on that, but I think he's a little crazy about that. You know what? I don't give a flying F what any of the smart people think about my thesis. I'm an American. This is my country, and I know how it was set up. It's a 13-page document. It's not that damn complicated. The only time it's complicated is when you start talking to people that think they know what the hell they're talking about. And they go, well, you know, you see, you don't have that right anymore because of stare decisis and the rule in the court of law and blah, blah, blah. It's like, you know what? Whatever you just said, you can go shove it, because I understand the Constitution and I understand that this is my country. And you don't tell me how to live on my country. In fact, if I want to go fishing, I will fish. Now, if my rights and what I'm doing step foot on your rights, then me and you have an issue, then we will talk to a marshal or a sheriff, and he will go, well, Mark, don't you understand? You can fish wherever you want, but he owns this property. It's like, well, I didn't know that. Well, he doesn't have to post it. You're just supposed to, you know, be aware. So it's like, well, okay, but sheriff, when I was fishing in a stream in his house, I didn't see his house. I didn't see any signs. He didn't come up to me and start being polite. He started shooting at me and said, hey, this is my property. Then the sheriff could turn around and go, hey, dude, he doesn't know this is your property. You shot at him. That's assault. He shot back at you. You got wounded. This is your problem. See, it all gets worked out. Is it complicated? Sure. But are you too stupid to help figure this out? Because we can just let Washington continue to run shit. And we've seen their track record over the last 200 years. This is, you're not free in America. So don't even think that you are. Because Oregon proves it. They don't own that land, even though they've been there longer than the senator for that stupid state has been there. And actually, the governor and some of the senators actually have a brain and are actually fighting Washington on this. But the simple fact is, no one needs to fight anyone. If the Bundys and all these people and a 1,000 armed militia people just go in there and go, here's your land back. Okay, fine. Go to the courthouse and just walk in there and say, you see all these documents? Yeah. The marshal right here, he's on our side. He says this isn't legal. Who owned that land 150 years ago? Well, the Hammonds did. Okay, then take all this stuff out of the land that the government says they own and put it back in a Hammond's free and clear title. Oh, okay. So you don't have to kill people. Sometimes you have to beat them over the head with logic. And that's when the sheriffs come in. So it's just, it's all a complicated mess. And the simple fact is to me that the minute Washington or any agent for the government suspends the Constitution, which is their power to write checks, it's their power to tell me how to live. It's like canceling the corporation. The minute you void the McDonald's corporation, it ceases to exist. They no longer have authority to write checks. They no longer have authority to decide what's on the menu. They no longer have the authority to enter into a contract for how many commercials they're going to run. It's over. It's dead. They turned the lights off and pulled the plug. It's over. Now, what do you do with all the properties in Mexico? Well, it becomes liquidated. So the minute they want to pull the plug and turn the switch off, then they no longer have authority. Their force shield, their badge that radiated authority, that look at it like a force shield, that, you know, you can't shoot them because they're in their force field. They are protected, not physically, but you go, oh, that's what they want me to do? Okay. See, you listen to people because they're elected and you put them in office and you're like, what? Oh, okay. Yeah, fine. I got it. They turn that switch off. Your force shield just went off. All you fucks in Washington, no one cares what you think anymore. You violate the Constitution, you've basically made it void. And the founding fathers said that. It becomes repugnant and void, and you can overthrow the government. That was the founding fathers that just got out of a war with England. They spent years trying to perfect the Constitution and this corporation called America. And they even said, no matter what, if it's 10 years from now and it becomes corrupt, overthrow it and fix it. All of our work, if the shed is leaning to the right, I give you permission to tear it down and build it right. They didn't sit there and go, yeah, but I cut those trees down by myself and everything, and I put 20 years of my life into that shed. You can't tear it down. No, they were man enough to go, hey, if we built it wrong and it needs a better foundation, tear it down and build another one. Now, I don't know if you're not a builder and you've never built anything, but let's say you create a website and it's running awesomely and all the Java and everything is working. And when you just look at it, it just pops and shines. And every time you click something, it works. And then you give it to somebody and you go, here, if it crashes, wouldn't you feel something on a visceral, emotional level? You go, wow, what happened? What happened? What do you mean you clicked that and it didn't work? They were men enough to say, hey, if there's something in the code that's wrong and it's going to keep doing that, let's start over. That's what you have to do. So the government's screwed. This conversation we're having is not going to change a thing. No one gives a shit because America is dead. It has no soul left. Because what we're talking about is what made the soul of America. How you felt on a personal level about your country, about you owning it, about you're in charge. They don't tell you what to do like little sheep walking around, and every time they kick you with their boot, you go, oh, I'm sorry. No, the soul was you, an American that could stand up and go, I built that. This is mine. Look what I've done. That was the soul, and it is dead because they've encircled us. So, you know, the only thing missing is that really big wall around the country that Trump and everybody's talking about building. Because the minute they have a wall around America, you will never leave this country. You are a prisoner in your country. They can market it and spin it towards to keep them bad people out. No, it's to keep us in, just like Agenda 21 almost. It's like the Hunger Games. You will be in a district, and then once it's all for your own security, all them wires and them electric fences and stuff, that's for you. Let's keep bad people out. It's like, I thought you were in control of everything. What bad people? Oh, they're out there, buddy. And then all of a sudden, you're the one that can't leave. You can't go out there across that fence and go hunting. You just watch the Hunger Games. I mean, even though it was kind of for kids, it's a great book. And that's it. You will be in your district, and they will tell you how to live your life. Which takes me to my next point, which will be electing a communist or a socialist. That's what everyone wants to do. So that's the soul of America. It's dead. It's dead. You're looking in the eyes of the patient and you open their eyelids and it's just, their eyes have rolled back. It's glazed over. That's your Uncle Sam right there. You know, just no, barely any pulse. The only reason he's alive is because it's life support. That's it. That's Uncle Sam. He's dead. You know, and these things happening in Oregon and Nevada and all this, just prove it. And the Second Amendment shit, you know, when people will sit there and go, you don't have a right to carry an assault rifle, they're dead. They're dead. They have no soul. They haven't even thought. They don't even understand. So I don't think the election's going to save a thing. I really don't. It never has. If you've ever seen a blacksmith pounding on an anvil, he gets that metal red hot, then he hits it real quick. Then he gets it red hot, and then he pounds on it some more. Because you don't change tungsten steel by just looking at it every 4 years and then smacking it once or twice and going, wow, I really wanted it to go that way. It's cold. It's not going to, you can't do it. You have to get it red hot and pound on it. And you continue to pound on it while it's red hot. And you keep it red hot while you continue to pound on it. You think pounding on that metal every 4 years when it's cold is going to change anything? No, America has to remain active. You have to keep that metal red hot all the time if you want change. So voting is just, it's voting. Who cares how you voted? Trust me, the people in the boardroom that have locked the doors and are running this corporation, they don't care how you voted. They don't give a crap about what you think should be on the menu. They don't care. Do you understand? They don't care. They don't care about your whiny little attitude. They don't care if you're offended. They don't care about your rights. They will act like they care to help fuel that fire that they're keeping hot so they can change the form of America. But they don't give a shit about you. So it's very negative, but these, you know, maybe it is the end times. I mean, whether it's biblically or just historically speaking, we're crushed under our own weight. America was great, but it's dead. What are you going to do about it? You can go and protest. You can do what the Bundys are doing for the Hammonds. They're making a stand because eventually, just like the war in heaven, you will have to pick a side and there will be no fence setters. And when that day comes, you won't even know it until you're asked to decide what side are you on. And if you hesitate, you'll either be arrested or shot or something violent will happen to you because change is coming. Change is always coming. The only thing constant in the universe is change. That one thing never changes. It will always be changing. Nothing stays still. So it's coming to America. I don't know when, neither do you, but it's coming. So you can be looking around someday and all of a sudden this whole big shit dust storm comes circling around you and you're going to have to make a decision where you stand and you won't be given the time you have right now to figure it out. So pick a side. Do you stand for America? Not all the shit they tell you on the news and the media. America, the twinkle, the sparkle, the light on the hill that used to be America. It wasn't Washington. It wasn't pretty tanks. It wasn't war machines. It was America. America was Geno's from Geno's restaurant, finding a location in New York and going, I'm going to make Philly cheese sandwiches. And his cousin's going, here's a couple stoves. Here's a refrigerator. I'll put it right here. Bam, he's open. Now, $500,000 in stainless steel, and maybe you can open that restaurant if you kiss our ring. That's not the America I'm talking about. I'm talking about the America to where you could create a ranch. You could build a farm. You could make a widget, and you could become rich without some bureaucrat sticking his nose up your ass and going, I don't like that. I think that widget should be blue. Why? So kids don't swallow blue. Well, they don't? No, it's scientifically proven. You're going to get sued. That's dead to me. It's dead. It's life support. Nothing is working. It's all just being artificially kept alive. That's it. So if you love freedom, liberty, because that will be your choice when you're sitting on the fence and the shit hits the fan, you will either pick true freedom or liberty, or you will pick Satan's plan or communism or socialism, whatever you want to call it, it's about free agency and freedom of choice. I'm going to be on the side that says I can live my life free and I will be judged by the mistakes I make and I will stand there like a man and go, that was a mistake. Okay, I'm sorry, and be judged for it. If you want to stand on the other side at that minute in time when the shit really hits the fan, then you've picked sides. And then you can't just sit there and go, well, I don't know why they're shooting at me. Because we picked our side, you picked yours. It's called a war. It's called revolution. There was a war in heaven over that very principle. So I'm sure Satan and all his minions down here on earth are like, well, I don't know why he threw us down here. We hadn't really decided. Yeah, you did. You decided to not decide. And that means you can't stand for your own actions and you won't be judged for them. So get the hell out of here. So that has nothing to do with Oregon. So what I'm trying to do is support them like I'm doing here, to talk about their cause and why it's just, to make a point that some of these news anchors are full of shit, and to make a point that a lot of these patriot groups, I think, are cowering under the desk of technicalities and trying to avoid being involved because they you know, and if they have their right, then just say it. They go, we can't get involved because we're already being beat to death by the same government that we, you know, that they're fighting, and we just can't put our neck in the line. That makes sense to me. But if you're just going to sit there and talk about timing and bullshit like that, then I think that's just the technicality, and you're just calling foul and going, I didn't want to play. So I'm asking everyone, you know, if you're a fan of any of these groups or you're on their Facebook pages and stuff, let them know, hey, it's like, we need to support these guys. I always see these posts from you that says, you know, when the day the shit hits the fan, will you stand with me? Oh, you know, that sounds so patriotic. It almost makes me want to tear up. Well, okay, the day is really here because it's not a day. Because if that day ever comes, America is dead. There will be a revolution and killing in the streets, and it will be the end of what we call America and freedom and liberty. So it's not the day that we're looking for. It's the many days before that day. You know, so I usually never respond to those stupid ass things because it's like, well, of course, you know, when the day comes to fight, there's going to be a fight. But what about this fight? What about breaking up the argument before it turns into a fight? Will you stand with them then? So stand with these guys, you know, share their links, find the positive in it and talk about it. You know, if I haven't helped you understand that the federal government don't own the land and the federal government in this case, like all cases that are involving the federal government, they're wrong. I mean, they're wrong because they're fighting us. We're the people. So how can we be wrong? We're the shareholders. F them. So find your ground that you will stand on and help these people, whether it's financially or whether you can go there for a couple weeks or a day even or 2 days and take some food or some coffee. They just really, they're fine. They just need some coffee and some blankets because they just showed up. You know, they showed up for the fight. It's not a fight, thank God. So they're trying to break up the argument. So all you groups out there that have all this internet following, get on the right side of this one. Support them. Stop talking shit. If you can't go there and support them in numbers, then at least shut the F up and put some positive posts out there about why they're right and why the federal government's wrong. At least do that. Retweet their messages. If you want to put a little spin on it before you send it out there, you go, you know, I can't. But at least sit there and go, I really wish I could. I think they're right. I'm just afraid to get into a fight with that bully right now because of where I'm at. Okay, that makes sense. But, you know, I would rather you just shut up about your reason why you're not going to support them. Because if you're not going to show up to fight, I don't really need to hear why you couldn't be there to help have my back when I was getting my ass kicked. Don't tell me you were watching a game with your kids or whatever your lame ass excuse was. Just shut up. Just go, oh man, wish I could have been there. Good enough. Act like you care. So that's all I'm saying. Act like you care on this one. If you have your opinions, shut the F up. Support them because they're trying to break up the fight before that day that everyone's always talking about happens. Because when that day happens, I don't really care if you got my back at that time or not. Because that is chaos and anarchy when that day comes. It will be as clear as the writing on the wall. It will be a billboard. You will know that day happened because the shit will have hit the fan. Nothing will be normal. I don't care what you're going to do when that day happens. Because I'm going to be taking care of my shit. These are the days that need your support. These are the days when that day happens that we want you to have our back. These are the days. All I can do myself is make this podcast and plea for every sane patriot to at least, if you don't agree, shut up about it and throw something positive their way. Throw them a bone. Pass a link. Share. You know, all these likes don't mean shit. I mean, anyone that knows Facebook knows a like is like a wave on a country road to somebody you don't even know in the truck coming your way. It's like, hey, hey, big deal. Share those. Get something viral going to be on the right side of this. Stop talking about timing. Stop talking about wrongheaded. Stop talking about the color of their hat. If you're not going to be there for them and you're not going to stand when that day comes for them, then shut up. But, it, you know, that's what I can do. I can make this post with as much passion as I have about it because I cannot stand the federal government overreaching this way, no matter if it's over raw milk or property rights, or whether I can put a fence around my yard. It sickens me. It makes me feel like throwing up when the government sticks their grimy little bony ass finger in my life and my face and says, you can't do that. So I can have my passion about these issues and I can share them with you and tell you, you know, even if you, a listener of Prepper Guy Podcast, if you don't agree and you think that the federal government should have their microscope up your butt and micromanaging every time you fart, fine. I understand that. If you can't get involved, don't be involved negatively. Pass this on to someone that you might have talked to that says, you know, I'm kind of on the fence with this one. You know, that there's the federal government and then these guys, and I don't understand. Let them listen to it. Not that it makes any sense because I get rambling, but just go, you know what? If that's how you feel listening to this, maybe put a post, you know, you got 10,000 friends, you know, put a post out there that's positive that, you know, I mean, how much do you got to know when somebody's doing something wrong, when the federal government, the bully is bullying someone, then I'm not asking you to go get in a fight with the biggest bully on the schoolyard. But when everyone squares off, stand on your friend's side at least. And so when the bully looks over and he sees 90% of the class is on this guy's side, he might not hurt the kid. That's all I'm asking. You know, you might not be able to get into the fight, but at least you can stand there and go, I'm going to do everything in my power to help this victim of your bullying. Because this is all it is federal bullying. You got all these anti-bullying laws. What about them pricks? I mean, the federal government polluted that entire river, and nobody even got fired over that at the EPA. And yet this guy burns 120 acres in a controlled burn that went off of his property. No one got hurt, and they're the horrible guys. That's bullying. That's harassment. You know, it's intimidation. It's wrong. So stop resting on your laurels and talking about, oh my God, timing. Oh, why are they doing that? This is not the place to do it. Well, where the frick is the place to do it? You can tell I'm really upset about this because I've almost really let the F-bomb fly two or three times in this episode here. And I don't know why I don't, because it's not, you know, it's labeled as explicit content, but I don't want to, you know, turn someone off by my bad language that maybe would have been on, you know, at least supportive of the Hammonds and the Bundys. And now they just went, oh, he cussed. And there are people like that. I mean, I'm sorry to say that, you know, you might, if you're on the fence and then I start swearing, then you're going to go, oh, that's why I don't use terms like damn Democrats, damn Republicans. You know, it's a conspiracy by the, you know, blah, blah, blah. I try not to finger point because it doesn't do any good. All I'm saying is the federal government are overreaching their authority. I don't give a damn who the president is and all those jackals that are running around calling themselves our leaders. It's the federal government. It's 50 to 100 years of abuse, and it's got to stop. I'm not picking on the Democrats. I'm not picking on the Republicans. I'm just saying all of them jackals, whatever their stripes are, I don't like them, and they are wrong. So let me ask, when is a good time to put up a bulwark and start to defend liberty? Because there is no timing with the other side. They are in motion, and they will continue to move until they are done with their agenda. They are not stopping now. So when people go, this is bad timing, it's like, no, you know, you might plan your reaction a day or two or to wait until you have some assets in place. But you're not going to just postpone it because someone says, well, it's bad timing. No, this is great timing. These people were arrested for terrorism charges, for a freaking forest fire that they didn't firebomb a store like happens in Ferguson. That's terrorism and arson. Put them in jail for 5 years. No, these people just started a backfire to help protect their property, which it worked. No resources from the federal government or the firefighting agencies had to even be called in. No one's life was in jeopardy at all. So when you're gonna make a stand, that's the place to stand. You don't stand for that jackass that, you know, attacked a cop and got his ass shot. And then they're sitting there, hands up, don't shoot, hands up, don't shoot. See, that's a fake narrative. It never even happened. These people are protesting that a man and his son were put in prison for arson and terrorism when the guy from Fort Hood, they're still calling it workplace violence. So they're saying, this is stupid, and we're going to make a stand to show how stupid it is. And I would like to see some of these self-righteous, we're going to stand for freedom when the day comes, whenever that is, you know, get behind this movement. Because all they're doing is it's a peaceful protest saying, hey, you put them in jail for arson and terrorism. They already served a year. The judge even said that 5 years was extreme and it shouldn't apply. So they have a legitimate point. And meanwhile, you know, you're still trying to figure out if San Bernardino was terrorism or not, or whatever, you know, the next thing, you know, like the cop that got shot by the imam guy that looked like an imam, even said he did it in Allah. And they're all sitting there going, man, we don't want to blame anyone right now. At least the sheriff or the chief of police was ballsy enough to go, no, it was terrorism. The guy even said he did it in the name of Allah. We're considered an act of terrorism. He shot the guy tried to shoot him 13 times. What do you think it was? So you can see it. So I'm irritated. I really am upset when I hear patriots or supposed patriots sitting there going, well, this is bad timing. Well, I'm sorry you had a camping trip this weekend and you can't run up there because you're retired and actually help support a good cause. Because what else is there? They're not sending supplies even. They're not even helping in any way because they think it's bad timing, wrongheaded. Well, you know, I'm sure there was a lot of people in the colonies that thought, you know, I don't even drink tea, you know, and I don't care about that 0.5% tax. That's bad timing. You know, why have the Boston Tea Party now? Wait until the summer when we don't drink as much hot tea. God, no one gives a shit. Because when a point needs to be made, there's a time to make it. And you adjust that timing a little bit. But you don't just ignore that whole situation when it is low-hanging fruit as ripe as what's happening in Oregon. Because there is no argument. There is no confusion to whether that was an injustice and an overreach of federal power. Just none. So I don't know what they're waiting for. I wish they'd stop waiting and actually start doing something. The sheriff in that county, I looked up his website and had his name, but I don't really even care about the guy. He's inconsequential. Whatever. He's inconsequential. That's the word. No one gives a shit about this guy because he's not standing up and honoring his oath. I've watched a lot of videos by sheriffs that are oath keepers, Sheriff Mack and all that, that will tell you that they cannot follow federal laws and keep their oath of office. Either one, they're in violation if they do one or the other. So if they keep their oath, they're in violation of federal law. If they follow federal law, they're in violation of their oath. So Justice Scalia even clarified that in the case that Sheriff Mack and Mr. Prince, another sheriff, took to the Supreme Court and won over the Brady Bill. And Justice Scalia said you cannot coerce or intimidate them by these rules. Basically, in a nutshell, he said you can't make a person violate his oath of office and in doing so to honor this law. And if he follows that law, then he's in violation of this. And if he doesn't, he's in violation of that. That's not right. And so the Brady Bill, they won that case. Now, the semantics of how that case and what it was actually about, but they won. They sued the federal government over this very point right here happening in Oregon. Because that sheriff is oath to protect the rights of the people in his county that elected him. That's where he gets his authority. See, before that, he was just a normal guy. He might have been a cop or a mason. I mean, like a bricklayer, not one of those Illuminati masons, but he could have been anybody. The minute the people in that county elect him, that force field turns on and he is given authority and to act to defend what? Their rights. Not the federal government's rights, not some other county's rights. Those people that elected him. Sheriff Mack summed it up really good in one of his videos. He goes, I will never pay a dime to Obamacare. And he goes, and when that day comes that the IRS is going to levy a fine on me or try to take my property, he goes, I will expect my sheriff to protect my property and not let them people in his county. So you're like, wow, that sounds like a can of worms and a half, doesn't it? Well, see, the federal boys, they really, they're on a short leash. It's a 13-mile leash, or, you know, that's around Washington, D.C. That's their leash. So the only way they can come into a county or a state is for the state to allow it. Now, the state could sit there and go, no, keep your tax guys out of here. Take that Obamacare and shove it. Well, the courts ruled. It's like, well, fine. The courts ruled on it. We're not going to enforce that law. Well, we'll make you? How the hell are you going to do that? You don't have enough people. Well, we'll sick the IRS on you? It's like, we'll throw the IRS out of the state. In fact, we'll take all of your bureaucrats and throw them out of the state if you piss us off. So, I mean, with the, you know, federal welfare and, you know, most states sucking on that tit, you're not going to ever see anything bold happen. So you got what's going on in Oregon, and this is a bold action that's just saying this is wrong. The sheriff could have stepped in and fixed it. Now, Mac tells a story about what could have happened during the Rosa Parks thing when she was made to sit in the back of the bus and then she was arrested because she wouldn't do it. We all know the history of that. What if the bus driver would have been a jackass or whoever, and he called a cop, and instead of that stupid-ass cop that showed up, the sheriff would have showed up. Or even a cop that was honoring his oath. He could have sat down by Rosa Parks and says, is this man bothering you? It's like, yeah, he wants me to move. Well, would you like me to escort you home? Yes, I would. You know, because she had done nothing wrong. Her rights were being violated. We didn't need all this civil rights stuff. What we needed was sheriffs and law enforcement officers to do their job and honor their oath and protected Rosa Parks' rights. But no, they always look to the government and go, what should we do? And then the government's like, well, we're not done beating this dead horse, so throw her in jail. Well, why are you going to do that? Well, then we can start a civil rights movement and we can tax the shit out of the American people for another 50 years. Oh, great idea. See, because if they would have solved the problem at the moment of its inception and that sheriff or cop would have told the bus driver, you have no right to do this, take that sign where Black sat in the back of the bus out of your bus, and if I see it again, I'm going to arrest you. Problem over. Done. Never happened. Done away with. Gone. But no. So we have this, and we have a perfect example of what's happening here with the sheriff in that county. Just crawling under his desk and looking to the federal room, what do I do? What do I do? Oh my God, what do I do? It's like, do your job. Read your oath. What does it say to do? Protect the rights of my citizens in my county. Oh, do I have to follow a federal law? Do I have to listen to what these bureaucrats say? No. Oh, okay. Then drive over there, round them all up and say, get out of here. All you federal bureaucrats, get out of here. We have this happening in my county where I live. And we had a big fire. And then the water, you know, after the fire burns your, you know, all your land is shit. Then when it rains, it just, there's nothing to hold the soil together. So then the mudslides happen, damage the aquifer. That actually, it didn't hurt the aquifer because that's underground, but it damaged a lot of the pipes, these big pipes that are, you know, 100 years old that went to the town of Tombstone. Tombstone had rights to that water 100 years ago. So there's really no question. Now the Forest Service is sitting there going, well, you can't take this heavy equipment on that Forest Service, you know, up there in the on our land, basically. Our land that we manage for you, we don't want you screwing it up. It's like, that's okay because I own this land, so step aside. No, they're not letting them fix the water. So meanwhile, for the last 2-3 years now, Tombstone is in a real crisis with water because it's not flowing through them pipes because they can't fix the pipes because the government, the bureaucrats, the BLM, the Forest Service won't let them drive the equipment necessary to get up there and fix those pipes. So they can pack it in, they can bring in pack mules, but they can't bring in bulldozers and stuff. This is a clear-cut case where the sheriff of our county should step up, walk up to the Forest Service and go and see all these tractors and bulldozers. We're going to fix that pipe. We're going to put everything back together real pretty because we own this land too. And then we're going to be done and we'll be out of your hair. And then if BLM or any federal agent says, we won't allow that, like the EPA, then the sheriff arrests him right there on the spot. Because who's the big dog on the porch? The sheriff. So he could, you know, he could at least advise the guy. It's like, we're going to be doing this. If I get any grief out of you, I will be arresting you and anyone that tries to stop us. End of story. He could ask those agents to leave his county and never come back. But no, he'd rather fall back onto some other bullshit law that was passed 50 years ago that maybe said possibly if you're drunk might mean. See, so this is how your authority is stripped from you, the citizen. Because the only person that can protect your authority and your freedom is your sheriff. And if he won't do his job, well, then you're kind of out there on your own. No one's got your back. You're screwed. So they could fix this. Now, even some of the ranchers are saying, well, we don't want that equipment driving on our access roads. Well, quite frankly, you have no right to not let them because it's called an easement. And that easement dates back before you owned the ranch. In fact, it dates back to when Arizona was a territory. So shut up and go to hell. But they're sucking up to the federal government because they don't want to lose their grazing rights. So I understand that. You know, on one side, you got the sheriff looking at you saying, we need to do this. And on the other side, you got some bureaucrat there with a club hanging over your head that he's going to beat you with. So they're in a tight situation, too. The sheriff could just stop it all, but he won't. He'd rather just default back to, I'm a little girl. I don't know what to do. Let's just go with federal law. There you go. That was easy. Because I didn't piss off federal government. And we get a lot of money from them guys. So that's it. So it's kind of like the bully in the room. And then when your one friend takes your side that maybe could stop it, he likes the bully better. And he's like, I'm sorry, I'm going to let him kick your ass. I thought we were friends. Yeah, not so much. So that's what's happening in Oregon. It's happening all around the country, really. The people in Oregon and the Bundys actually just shined a light on it. And I think they deserve people to at least, you know, consider what they're doing and not be talking shit about them, especially if you call yourself a patriot organization. I'm not going to name any names because I don't think that's fair. You know who you are. You know, I brought up Alex Jones because he's a big boy and he can handle it. And he's got millions of listeners. And he wasn't saying anything bad about the Bundys. And he agrees that this is all a bunch of horse shit that the government's doing. He just thinks it's a timing issue. Well, their timing has now been retarded and slowed a bit because of his statements. When they could have been getting momentum and drawing attention, Alex Jones could have said, you know, I'm not really a fan of them doing this right now, but I think it's the right thing. Let's go help them. Timing aside, I am now 100% in mesh with their timing. Let's go do something about this. But everyone's got their point of view. So timing is an issue when it comes to military strategy and things like that. But this was a reaction that needed to happen. So you can sit there and go, well, if you tap my knee with that little reflex hammer and I twitch, I'm going to knock over that water. It would be bad timing to do that right now. But if someone does it and hits your knee, your reaction is still going to kick and you're going to knock over that water. Whose fault is it? Is it yours for your reaction? Or is it the dumbass that tapped your knee? Or maybe, I mean, how many times have you been holding something and then you bump into something, you hit your funny bone and you damn near drop a glass of water and you're like, whoa, that would have really sucked. Because sometimes shit happens. There is no timing involved. It's just life. What happened and is happening in Oregon with the Bundys and the Hammonds needed to happen. Timing would have been better if the federal government maybe wouldn't have forced this their hand. So I think it was the federal government's timing by putting these people back in prison after they had already served their time. The Justice Department could have said, you know, this is bad timing. We don't want to, we're not going to reopen the case and ask for a resentencing. No, they didn't care about their timing. So now all we can do is react. So this is a call out. I've been in support of what's happening in Oregon with the Bundys since they had their issue on their land because of Harry Reid is a jackass. And now I support them with the Hammonds. I think what the federal government and the court system is doing to the Hammonds is bullshit. I think that anyone that goes up there and stands up for their rights and your rights and my rights, because this is a property issue, remember. I mean, if they get away with shit, eventually you might think, well, I don't have a ranch. Well, that didn't affect me. I don't have 20 acres. Well, that didn't affect me. I don't have 10 acres. Oh, shit. You're going to tell me how to live on my house now? Oh, which they do anyway. I mean, what am I talking about? It affects all of us. So I'm going to ask all my listeners to support, even if it's not financially, support the protesters. Let's just call them that, protesters, because that's what everyone else is calling them. So if you do a Google search, that's what's going to come up. I want you to support their actions. You know, if they have a PayPal thing, you can send them some money in PayPal, which now they're even saying that they should shut down their PayPal account because you can't do illegal actions using PayPal. Well, first of all, it's not determined that what they're doing is illegal. So that's still hearsay and allegedly. But I'm sure they'll lose their PayPal account too. So I want you to support them. Send some money in through PayPal and actually tell PayPal if there's a question. Go, they're not doing nothing illegal. I'm not doing anything illegal and neither are they. Whatever it takes, make a stand and say, this is what I'm doing. I'm helping these people. Send them a check. Send them money. Share their posts. Share their tweets. Stand up with them. If you have no money and you can't get there, I mean, I wish like hell I could be there because, first of all, I love to hang out in Oregon and in that area for a month or two, but we have a business just like you. So I can't go there. But the people that have gone there have went out of their way, and I think they deserve a little respect, at least from people that feel like I do. So retweets, shares, make some noise. Put a link in there from, I have a lot on my YouTube channel from Sheriff Mack. Just Google or YouTube Sheriff Mack. And some of his videos on the power of a constitutional sheriff and law enforcement officer and what they could be doing to fix this. And he actually has a video now that talks exactly about the Hammond thing. So post those with your thoughts. And don't be negative. Just sit there and go, hey, the federal government is full of shit. And I haven't figured out all the details of this, but as far as I'm concerned, screw you, Uncle Sam. This is our land. I support these guys. Throw some posts up there. Get behind it. Get the movement going for these people that are literally putting maybe their lives at jeopardy to protect something as simple as property rights, which affects all of us. It's an overreach of the federal government. It's an injustice. Even the judge, the original judge, said this is a violation of his right because this is what the sentence you want to give these people is cruel and unusual. And yet the Justice Department said, I don't give a shit. So that's an injustice. So whether you got a dog in the fight or not, you kind of do. You're an American. This is our land. It's never been their land. It's our land. It always was our land. We bought and paid for this land with our taxes over the years. We owe them debts that they incurred to buy the land. It's our land. They're just a property management company. So I'd like you to support those guys, you know, and gals. There's a lot of them out there. They need it. They, you know, you might not be swimming the, you know, the English Channel, but it, you know, you could at least sit there and cheer for them. You know, it's like all this, the fans in the stadium, you know, they're cheering their team. They're not on the field. Those guys are doing the work, but you're there like, dude, that was awesome. Great catch. Great pitch. Great pass. That helps them do their job. So that's all I'm saying for these guys. You know, you don't have to be in the field, but at least be on their side in the stands. Because otherwise, you're on the other team's side. You're cheering for the feds. Great job, buddy. Yeah, throw that old man in prison for 5 more years for terrorism. Meanwhile, Nassad Nadal, or whatever it effer's name is, you know, is not charged on terrorism. But the old people, yeah, get the true Americans in jail for terrorism while the terrorists are not. So if that's the side you want to sit on, then go over on that side and cheer. At least then I'll know who my enemy is. So be on the side of the team that you support. Cheer those people. Stop tearing them down.
You would have won the game if you hadn't, you know, fumbled that pass. Your timing was all off when you ran that ground game.
Well, first of all, no one asked for your stupid ass opinion, and no one needs an armchair quarterback. And in retrospect, it's always easy to be the expert. I'm putting myself out there. I could be dead wrong on a lot of issues, but you know what? I feel passionate about this. This is my country. I own this country, not the federal government. We tell them what to do. We tell them how to rule our lives. That's why we set them up, to help us, because there's a lot of people around, to protect our borders and not open them wide, throw the doors open and go, yeehaw, have a party, everyone come in and vote and dilute my stock of ownership in this company. So I'm not just in the fan supporting, I'm a freaking cheerleader down there and I wish I could be playing the game. But like most people, I can't take that much time off and I don't have the money. So I can put together a podcast. Every one of my posts has been like, don't be that way, support these guys. Every article I found from Sheriff Mack to the Constitutional Sheriff's Association, the Oath Keepers, I posted out there and I probably upset a lot of friends and people that are talking timing, or the next time I see another one of those posts that says, when that day comes, will you have my back? It's like, I'll ignore it so I don't offend people, but I'm out there 100% for this team that's fighting the battle for freedom on this one play of the game. So support them financially, time-wise. Use your social connections. Just support them. The one good thing about the timing of this fight here is if you don't support them, if you think what they're doing is wrong, then look at it as a football game. You are on the other side of the bleachers, and that team is for the federal government. What does that mean? What is the color of their jerseys? Well, it's for intrusive government, overstepping freedom and liberty, taking people's land, taking your rights, telling you you can or can't have a gun, telling you what size soda to drink. That's the side of the stands you're on, and that's fine. Make that decision. I'm on this side of the stands. Very limited government. A dangerous freedom is better than a safe tyranny. I'm on that side. And don't ask me why I don't support your team, because I'm not going to ask you why you like this team or that team in sports either. We can have all the fun, spirited debates about it, but when it comes to game time, I'm going to cheer for my team, and I hope your team gets his ass kicked. That being said, this is America. When that day comes that everyone's talking about, when that happens, enjoy the apocalypse.